Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob Ninkovich is brought to you by Ketch's Law. Your attorneys, your neighbors. Ketch's Law has won over $3 billion for injured New Englanders. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com. You made it this morning.
Don't sue me for being late, Greg. I thought with your payroll and your salary, you could get me an escort somehow, like a police escort, to get me in here. Because this morning it was basically fighting through floodwaters, trying to get here, a raging river going down 95. So I'm happy to be here. Sorry I'm a little bit late.
You're coming from the Foxborough area?
I'm coming from Walpole.
Walpole.
I dropped the kids.
That is the home of Cam. What's his last name, Courtney?
Schlittler.
Oh, thank
Schlittler.
You. Okay. Yes. And so driving a reasonable vehicle? Or
no, not a reasonable. Oh, okay. Not reasonable at all. I'm in a 70 Buick Electra convertible, which
nice
was
car.
Leaking.
Soft top?
On the way here, soft top.
Oh,
and there's a few car. Leaks. So the reason I didn't have a car available is my wife told me I couldn't use hers. So use one of your old ones. Had to use the old one.
Okay.
So if you see a 70 Buick Electra driving down 95, that's me.
That's you.
Since
that's
you're
me.
Coming from Walpole every Wednesday now moving forward, can we do like a
I put might in come our, earlier.
Put in an order from Muffin House?
Oh, yeah. I go right past them,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, that is...
Muffin House?
Oh,
great
Greg.
Muffins.
Really?
Great
really
breakfast
good.
Sandwiches.
Really good breakfast. They do sourdough. Not a lot of places do sourdough.
Yeah.
It's better for you.
I
just like
sourdough.
Your thing of blueberries right there, Greg.
Yes, well, you know, blueberries and...
Getting that low cholesterol.
I had a bite of my mush and it didn't taste right and I looked at the expiration date.
Mush. Expired?
Every time.
4/20/25.
That
ew,
desk in front
Greg.
Of you is the...
So, Lord knows what'll happen.
Everything
with
in
that
front
baby.
Of you is the epitome of health right there.
The blueberries?
Yes.
And, so listen.
Except it's not working.
Yes.
Let's talk about Sunday night.
Let's talk about it. I'm ready.
On the brightest and biggest of stages, and that Patriots win, is this team for real?
They look really good. I'm not going to say they're back and they're going to the Super Bowl, but I think from where they were, they're learning and they're getting better, and that's really what you want. You want to see a progression from week to week of getting better. Granted, there was a few penalties. I mean, they need to clean up some of the penalties. If you look at the amount of penalties, the yardage there, the hidden yardage and penalties, that can get you in a close game. But if you look at Buffalo, they had a lot of the same mistakes as well. So I think they looked really good. Drake May looked amazing, threw the ball amazing. He was able to get out of the pocket, use his legs, look downfield. You know, a lot of young quarterbacks, when they have to get out of the pocket, they start to look at the rush instead of keeping their eyes downfield. And for him to be able to evaluate the field, Diggs had an amazing game. I mean, he wanted a payback game, and that was a payback game. You could tell in the pregame warm-ups the guy was juiced up and ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was a great game. I think they played well. Now, I think the biggest challenge, and Wiggy, you know this, is going to go from the emotions and getting yourself ready to go play a Sunday night game on the road in the division, keeping that same juice going on the road to play New Orleans, which they should destroy New Orleans. But this is one of them, you know, this is one of them games where you can get caught. So keeping the same energy and keeping that same mentality going on the road for a non-divisional game now, I want to see what that looks like.
What is the primary difference between this season and last? Rex Ryan, we listened to Rex Ryan yesterday on the show say it's all Mike Vrabel. Like, from your perspective, it might be the development of Drake May. Like, what in your mind, what's the primary difference?
I think it's a combination of things. They spent $365 million in free agency. That helps, right? So bringing in new guys, drafting, you know, I think Campbell's having a terrific season for a rookie. He's got the juice. So you see that guy, he always seems to be a young leader. I think Diggs, watching him, he seems like to be that veteran leader, getting everyone going. You know, the pregame speech, the in-game motivation after the game. And Vrabel's doing a terrific job. So I think it's a combination. I think bringing McDaniels, Josh, in for Drake has probably been the biggest thing offensively and moving forward to where this whole organization could kind of get back to where they're winning ways. Now,
Shime, any comment?
Uh-oh, Shime? What does Shime think?
Josh didn't Shime hates Josh. Any,
why do you hate Josh?
He's terrible.
He's terrific.
He thinks he stinks.
I think his play calling is very inconsistent.
What is Drake May's percentage, completion
like
percentage?
70, how many times did he have to roll out of the pocket and make a play and improvise with Steph Diggs? Yes.
I mean, improvise, that's football. It's the whole
exactly.
game
that's
of
not
improvising.
Josh, but that's my point. That's not Josh McDaniels' play calling. That's a great job by the receiver to find a spot and the quarterback to find him and make a play.
Yeah, but the offensive coordinator puts the receiver in the spot to make a play.
He also thought Josh McDaniels was telling Drake not to run.
Well, I would tell Drake not to run, considering if you watch this season, he has been taking care of himself better than he was last year.
Of course, but in the beginning, he was a bit nervous, it seemed, because...
I mean, look, I'd be nervous, too. I wouldn't want to see my quarterback get smacked.
Yeah. Nick, you would know this, not like you had a job waiting or anything, but when Gerard Mayo built his staff in that 1 year, did he do it with the expectation that it would look much different and more of his liking in subsequent years?
I don't understand that question.
So my question would be, why didn't Mayo bring in a guy like McDaniels? Why did he bring in a guy like Van Pelt?
Well, maybe he wasn't available or available to bring in at the time. And I think every single year, there's timing aspects of it too, because you try to get your staff in line year or two before and say, listen, I might have this job that's coming up next year. Would you be open to moving your whole family back to wherever? Would you be open to taking this job? And we all thought Bill was going to have that job one more year, correct? I didn't think Bill was going to get fired at, but then that happened. So then Mayo was available. And then Mayo was probably, hey, I got to get a whole coaching staff together a year before or 2 years, and I wasn't ready. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of timing factors right. when it comes.
And Alex, can you help me out on the offensive side? And Alex says, Elliot Wolf, and then Elliot Wolf says, oh, yeah, I worked with Alex Van Pelt.
Exactly.
Maybe he could be somebody good for you.
All contracts, too. So you have to. It's not just the timing of, hey, will you be available next year? It's, hey, I have a 2 to 3 year contract that I'm working for somebody. Maybe I can get out. Maybe I can't get out. Maybe they'll let me out. Maybe they won't let me out. So there's all these different factors that go into hiring your coaching staff.
You know the organization better than anybody other than Wiggy probably in the room. Is there a chance that they add significantly to this team?
I would assume November? They're always looking for talent.
They always say that. Mike Vrabel always says that.
I think,
that.
Yeah, you do look for talent, but then you have to look at what you're giving up for talent. So are we going and getting somebody that we feel can help the team win right now versus giving up a draft pick that we potentially could have a future with somebody who's in the second or third round? So I think it depends on the talent level.
But when you win a game like that, like a signature game like Sunday night, does that change strategy-wise internally? Do you then change and go, all right, we need to whatever we need to win right now. Like we have an opportunity here in the AFC.
I think you stay with your building mentality of we're taking this organization that was really bad and we're bringing in our type of guys and we're looking for our type of guys who are trying to flip what was into what will be. So right now, if you look at last year's captains to this year's captains, they've replaced everybody. You know, the whole team has flipped over. The coaching staff, everything is turned over. So when you're looking for, I don't know, a receiver that might play for the Eagles, I would be interested in that because mm-hmm. there is a relationship there, number one, with Vrabel. So that goes to the whole, hey, I know this guy, I know his character. And then on the flip side of it, it's AJ, right?
Yeah, AJ Brown.
AJ Brown, didn't he say he wanted to be a Patriot? In the draft process, he
yes.
was crying.
Yeah,
he wanted to be a Patriot. So there's also a connection there. So I personally would love to see that move. But then on the flip side of it, you have a team that's like, all right, give us a first, give us a second,
right.
You know, which doesn't make sense.
Well, I think that it's going to be critical these next 4 weeks because the next 4 weeks, after the Atlanta game, you'll look at that and you'll go, okay, where are we? Because then the trade deadline is a couple days later. So I think those 4 weeks, if you win your next 4 games, you might be more in line of saying, all right, we got a couple days. Let's get somebody that can really help us.
There's also specific positions that you can go and get that aren't really that hard to learn. So, for example, if you're Joe Flacco and you just go to Cincinnati, you're literally having to walk in the building. Now, he's a veteran. He knows offenses, and he could probably get it quickly, but he's still having to relearn a verbiage and do that as fast as possible versus you go get a running back or a pass rusher or a receiver and say, hey, run a go route. And you look at the guy and say, just run a go. It doesn't matter the verbiage. You know, defensive end, hey, just get the quarterback. All right, cool, I can do that.
What do you do with somebody like Ramondre right now? The fumbling continues to be an issue, and now you've got Gibson out.
I think you got to keep giving him the ball. And, you know, hope that he doesn't have another one. And, you know, another part of football is your confidence. You know, when you start to lose confidence, but then also lose the confidence of your coaches and the guys around you. Now, it is your fault because you're fumbling, but on the flip side of it, you know, you can get past those things. And if you start, you know, gaining your confidence back and holding the ball and running the ball well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can go on a run here. So hopefully they continue to use him.
But isn't it time for them to say, because I think his confidence is completely gone. I think it's, you know, for him mentally, even though they keep giving him an opportunity, I just think he's like in that place where it's like, oh my God, he's always
thinking about it.
Where I think like now it's time for them to say, all right, well, Travion Henderson, we drafted him in the second round. He's going to be our lead back. We're going to throw you in there, Ramondre, and you don't have to worry about carrying the load as much, because, you know, I've never been in that position, but as a ball, as somebody who catches the football, once your confidence, it's gone. It's harder on the defensive side because you don't really have to focus on catching a football, holding on to it. I just think Ramondre's is gone.
Well, I think about as a long snapper, you know, I've been in positions where you make a bad snap and then you're thinking about the next snap. So in your head, you know you can do it because you're repeating it in practice and you're doing it over and over and over again. But the second you get back on the field, you're like in the back of your head.
So are you thinking about?
I hope I don't mess this up. You know, I hope I don't throw this over the guy's head, because then it's my fault.
You drop a football, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. God. And you start thinking about it and dwelling on it. And you do it in practice. You're like, oh, this is easy. But the second you step on the game field, it's almost like you have a flashback. Bang, I'm
because
here.
If you look
it.
At the hit that he took in the game, it wasn't like a
he
punch
got hit
out.
Him with the elbow.
Yeah, it was just like a regular tackle.
He
that
wasn't
he,
trying to
yeah.
get the ball.
And so that's why I think when I watch him, I think that it's just now in his head because of all the fumbles. And sometimes it's hard for those guys to come back, like to really get to the point. I seen it with guys who had the dropsies. Like, all right, they never get back.
But with Ramondre, it's not even just this season. He had this issue last season and with Bill. Like, Bill benched him.
So he's still thinking about that. That's my point. He might never come back from this.
Yeah.
He might just have the fumbleitis for the rest of his career, where there are some guys who never were able to flip that switch and change. And now if you have that as a coach, you got to be like, oh, man.
Yeah, Ken says you got to wear a mask to prevent spreading fumbleitis.
Put it's like, the sticky traps. You know those mouse sticky traps? Put a couple of them on his forearm.
Do something.
That ball stick.
But when Vrabel's asked about it, he's very, like, he kind of takes the blame off Ramondre a lot. It seems like he protects Ramondre when he talks to people about
it. As a coach, it's a balancing act of how much do I put on the player, how much do I put on everybody else, myself, the coaching staff, you know. It's always a balancing act trying to give – you don't want the guy to flip on any radio or the TV and say, you know, head coach blames running back for trouble, right? So you're trying to figure out the best way to say we still have confidence in the player because we need the player. You know, you can't just say, all right, you've been fumbling. you're on the bench, you're not playing anymore, because at the end of the day, the offense needs him. So you just got to continue to maybe mix in the reps, mix in the type of plays. Hey, we're in the low red. Hey, we're on the one. We need you. Let's go. Punch it in. And, you know, that's how you regain the confidence.
We were talking earlier, we've been talking for a couple of days about the AFC and who you're worried about parity, about do you feel like it's wide open?
I feel like right now the NFL in general is sloppy. You know, there's a lot of sloppy football. You watch these games and there's so many penalties and field goals used to be money. Every field goal block in general. You go back in 10 years ago, there wasn't blocked field goals like there is this year, right? You see all these field goals that are getting blocked, and you're like, what's going on? And it comes down to going way back to the fundamentals and learning things through college, and you get to the pros, and you're continuing to be coached and taught and learn how to do things to where special teams used to be like, hey, there's not a hiccup here. This is just the way the game is. And now you see a lot of hiccups in a lot of areas that you start to say – the better coached teams, the more disciplined teams are going to be able to win these games, because at the end of the game, when you need to kick a field goal and win it, which, I had my fingers crossed. The rookie came through. He kicked the ball. It was through the uprights. Great.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think back on some PATs that they're supposed to be there and they were gone. They weren't there. So, you know, I think right now it's wide open, and the next month, the next 4 weeks of the season, we're going to see a lot of teams either getting better or staying the same. And if you are a team that can improve and get better, you're going to be able to beat the teams that stay the same.
I just think nowadays, like, even in the NFC, there's no – when you played, I felt like New England was always dominant. They were just so much better than everybody else. And there's no dominant team. Like, you know, I watched the Philly game, and there's a couple games that they win, like you said, on a block field goal where they scoop and score. But there's no team that you go, man – you got to be on your A game to beat that team. And that's why I give New England that's why in my eyes, I look at if New England consistently play like this, they can easily make a deep run.
I think as far as these massive swings, you look at the Panthers, they beat Atlanta 30-0,
right?
Came here, and they didn't even look like they wanted to be on the football field. They were walking into the huddle or into the tunnel at halftime, literally walking, every single one of them walking. Well, maybe one or two because I filmed it. But I'm like, they don't want to be here.
Right.
And then they got destroyed, right? So it's so weird how they have these massive swings, and that's what I was talking about in-division, non-division game, because Atlanta, in-division, they're jacked up. We got to win this team. We got to beat this team. We got to win against this team. And then the next week, they're on the road, team they don't really know. Who cares? We're still getting paid. Let's get the brakes beat off us.
And that's your concern about Sunday.
My concern about Sunday is the momentum and the energy in a Sunday night game. And we got a big one coming. And then you go on the road with a non-division team that really is kind of because they're not a good team either.
Right, but don't you think Vrabel gives them a little bit of
juice?
Of juice in the sense not to fall into that.
Of course. He's telling them all week, I guarantee, he's saying it. Listen, we're going on the road. We don't know these guys. We got to prepare this week, just like last week. Let's build this momentum. Let's go on a run here. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that it's also been the mentality of the players. And we're seeing a shift in the mentality of the players from what it used to be to this kind of not as violent. You know, like before you'd go into pregame, if we were playing the Ravens or the Steelers, there were almost like security people in between the two teams because they wanted to fight each other, like literally. Now they're like, hey, let's have dinner tomorrow. Great. Yeah. You know, good to see you. Let's swap jerseys after the game. Like, we're buddies. Yeah, we
That's
trained
like all the
we trained in Arizona
all the
together.
Old guys say that.
It's
well,
crazy.
Even Vrabel said it, though. Remember when Vrabel, when I remember there were guys that policed the locker room, guys like Willie Mack, Lawyer Malloy, these guys policed the locker room. So you
what
had to be.
What was that for you guys?
I mean, I think we didn't really have that
butler
enforcer. No, I mean, I'm thinking back to the teams that we played on defensively, like Vince didn't mess around. Like, so I would say Vince was quiet, but he'd be like, no, we ain't doing that. Like, let's go. Yeah. You know, we ain't doing that. Like, we ain't going over there talking, having a good time with these guys. Let's
The locker room. You had to worry about Vince. Like, if I said something slick, like Vince is going to be like, so that's my, but even Vrabel said this to us the other day. I'm trying to find somebody to beat. But like you said, their personalities,
the personalities aren't as like, you know, think about the Steelers. They had Joey Porter in warmups would have his shirt off, flexing, like trying to intimidate people, which I'd laugh at. I'm like, dude, go over there. You're, right. What are you doing?
It was
doing
probably Juju Smith-Schuster doing the TikToks pregame for the Steelers that changed that.
And I then, can do that to get everybody fired up for the show.
The Ravens.
Take my shirt off.
The Steph Diggs speech pregame.
All right. We can take a break. Rob Ninkovich is here, and Rob Ninkovich is brought to you by Ketch's Law. Your attorneys, your neighbors. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.